And that's how she got her kunya Umm Jameel. Even though they have all of these characteristics that the people of dunya would see as the characteristics of success, we will see in this surah what happens to them. This surah, ijma'an al-makkiyah, but there is a particular set of circumstances when it was revealed. And this is from hadith. This is not يعني, some alim's guesswork or something like this. Rather, we find the hadith that is reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. And we find the narration before it reported by Imam Jarir al-Tabari and Abu Nu'aym authentically. There are two incidences that are important here. The first, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call his aqarib, yani those that are close to him, towards Islam. So he ordered Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu to get ridl shaf, yani to get a leg from a goat and cook it and get a bowl of milk and prepare it. And he invited the leaders of the Quraysh to dinner to make ikram for them. And this is a lesson for us that we should, when we want to give da'wah to somebody, when we want to invite people to Islam, we should show good akhlaq. We should make ikram of them. We should give them gifts. And this is something from the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Today some of our du'at, they're angry us all the time. Every time they look at somebody, they want to give them a da'wah towards Islam to a kafir. They look at them mean, yell at them. How somebody make a Muslim like that? This is not the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu spent his own money. And he invited these people. And as the hadith, as reported by Al-Bazzar and Ibn Abi Hatim, both of them through Sahih Ahanid, they say there was 40 of them. And each one of them could eat a goat by themselves. I mean, they were, mashallah, they could eat. And when they came from that leg of a goat and from that bowl of milk, they all ate. Subhanallah. Yani 40 people. Today if I roast the leg of a lamb or a goat and I invite 40 of you, you would not be full. And these were the leaders of Quraysh. They said each one of them could eat a whole goat. And this is Sahih Hadith. And this is a miracle that we will be talking about amongst the miracles of this surah. They all ate from it. And from one bowl of milk they all drank. Until their stomach was full. Until Abu Lahab, the same Abu Lahab that we're talking about, he said that this is some amazing magic your sahib, this guy has done. Yani referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how could it be that this little fool satisfied us all? But they were elder to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of them. And there were people who used to have their own conversations. So they didn't pay attention to the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't throw it on them as if you just want to get rid of something. This is our da'wah today. You want to learn myself? No? Okay. Good, I'm done. No. Da'wah should be something you're persistent. You have hikmah, you have sabr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let them go. Once again, at a second time, and one of the narrations mentions a third, he ordered Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu to get another leg from a goat and more milk. And he invited them again. And this time, he started to call them, he told them, Ya Bani Abdul Muttalib, and he's referring to them. And Ya Bani Hashim, and referring to them. And Ya Bani Muttalib, this is Abdul Muttalib's father, so this is our earlier brother, so now you have the earlier generation as well. And calling on all of the children of Abdul Muttalib, and calling back to Abdul Manaf, then calling to their lineage, calling them by their tribe, referring to them, then he told them that look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me as a warner. Somebody to warn you, somebody to remind you, to call you towards Allah, to call you towards Tawheed, and there is a day of judgment, there is going to be an azab coming for those who don't heed the call. He started to give them their da'wah. And the Quraysh, their hearts started to soften. They started to listen to the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until one of them, he said, Tabba laka. Tabba laka. The wording is important here. Ya Muhammad, صار اليوم لهذا دعوانا. He says, all day may the destruction, the slow, painful doom be upon you. Is this what you really called us for? And who was this? with Abu Lahab. What did he say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in al-Bukhari, he did not give up his da'wah. Instead, he went out to one of the hills in Mecca, and this was a practice that was well known, hadith in al-Bukhari, that when the people wanted to warn a people, they would go out to a hill and they would take off their clothes. Get naked like your birthday suit. And they would yell out, ya sabah, which would be referring to an imminent threat, a danger that's coming. Tell you. Now, why would they tell ya sabah? Sabah, yani, for the next morning is going to be a doomful morning if you don't prepare. I mean, get ready, the enemy is approaching. Why would they take off their clothes? Why? Because not everybody can hear them. They don't have microphones. They don't have a bullhorn. They don't have any way to get to people far. But if you see some dude naked on a mountain, you know something's wrong. Even if you can't hear him, you know something's wrong. And this was a warning system the Quraysh had. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up the mountain, called out, Ya Sabah, but he didn't take off his clothes. Why? Because that's against the Sharia. And that lays down an usul of da'wah for us. We can use the means that are out there, even if they're developed by kuffar. Why? Who developed this method? The kuffar, the Quraysh did. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it. So today, if we use cameras, if we use cell phones, if we use Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or YouTube or whatever else for da'wah, nothing wrong with that. You cannot say, oh, a kafir made that phone, we can't use it. No. But you have to use it within the bounds of Sharia. You have to use it within the bounds of Sharia. I repeated that on purpose. Why? Because nowadays you have du'at, yani out there taking selfies with no shirts and sending it out. This is not the way to use social media. And you have to use it within the guidelines of Sharia. So now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's calling the Quraysh. And the Quraysh, thinking that there is an imminent threat and attack, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he alayhi salatu wasalam, he told them in the famous hadith that you all know, that if I was to warn you that there is an army behind this mountain about to attack, would you believe me? They said, of course, we don't know you to have lied. Yani you are somebody who is trustworthy. You've never lied to us, so why wouldn't we believe you? We would believe you. So he told them, then believe me, that there is an adab al-shadid, yani there is a harsh punishment coming, and you need to prepare for it. And he started to call them towards Tawheed and towards an akhirah. The Quraysh did not believe in a resurrection after death. And the Quraysh, they did not believe that you will be raised after death. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to tell them that you will be raised again after death, this was something difficult for them. But they knew him to be truthful. So they started to listen to the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until once again, second time, the same man, Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tabba laka sa'ir al-yawm," yani all day long, may destruction, a painful doom be upon you. That this is, we thought there was a real battle, not realizing that the warning against an army is nothing compared to the warning against shirk, against dying without tawheed. This was something very important, but they took it as light. And here some of the Sahaba, like Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abbas, their hearts became soft. Ali ibn Abi Talib was already Muslim, but he was somebody who became closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other from the Quraysh. Abbas radiyallahu, he realized this is the truth, but it was hard on him. Abu Talib, it was hard on him. But here, because of this man Abu Lahab, the da'wah stopped. Because when he attacked his own nephew, the Quraysh, they scattered. They said, if he doesn't listen to his own nephew, who will we listen to? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to Abu Lahab. Twice Abu Lahab has told him, tabba lak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ghira upon his Nabi. And when he saw this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tabba. This is in al-Bukhari. That this is the asbab al-nuzul. This is when these ayat were revealed from the Quran. In a very early time of Makkah. I covered one miracle. I'm going to go over a second. This was when? When was this? In Makkah. Sah? Sah?
Yes.
Everybody awake still?
Good.
And a very early time of Makkah. And this is not in the Am al-Huzn or in the later time or when Umar radiallahu anhu became Muslim. This is a very early time that the da'wah is just beginning. So this is in the very early time of Makkah. And what does the surah? It condemns Abu Lahab and his wife Jamil to a Na'a. And they will be in the Na'a. At this time, Umar is not Muslim, radiallahu anhu. At this time, Hamza is not Muslim, radiallahu anhu. At this time, Abu Sufyan is not Muslim, radiallahu anhu. At this time, Abbas is not Muslim, radiallahu anhu. At this time, most of the Sahaba that we know of are not Muslim. Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, Khadija radiallahu anha, Uthman radiallahu anhu, some of these early Sahaba, yes. But that's it. So many of these other that were there at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal ayat against them. There is no surah in the Quran against Abu Sufyan, for example. Even though he didn't become Muslim until much later. Now, imagine if Abu Lahab had just faked his Islam. You know, he has 20 years, basically till the end of the life of Rasulullah, even though he died before that. But I mean, in that time, he could have faked Islam. And this would have, in the eyes of people, proved the Quran wrong, because the Quran is telling you that they are in the fire. But they would be Muslim. And if anybody else, yani Abu Sufyan and others, they became Muslim. But here, this is a miracle from the miracle of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this man and his wife would never become Muslims. While Umar and others that were harsh against Islam, there was no surah against them because Hidayah was written for them. This is a miracle from the miracle of the Quran. When these ayat were revealed, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood the meaning. But today, unfortunately, most of us do not understand the meanings. Because when we say tabbat, sayyid, what does it mean? What does it mean? Destruction. Curse. Sayyid, what is taba? Dun shadda. Don't put the tabba. Tabbat ta lithanif. We leave that. Tabba with the shadda on the ba. If you take that off, it's all Arabic. Taba is also an Arabic word. What does it mean? Destruction. So why the shadda? And this is what I'm saying, we're lacking. This surah, all of you know it. All of you read it. But have we thought about it? In Arabic, when you talk about destruction, you say taba. But when you want to show a slow, painful demise, you put the shadda on the ba. It changes the meaning. It gives a meaning of not just a destruction, like hala, but tabba bil shadda ala ba. It means a slow, painful death or destruction. And that's why the earlier poets of the Arab, they would say, I became young. And then old age, they call it tabba. Yani slowly, slowly, with age and problems and health issues, I became old. So here, a pointer is given. One, that he cursed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not respond to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to him. Second, that it would not be a quick demise. Abu Jahl was a big enemy of Islam. You know Abu Jahl?
Yeah.
You know his real kunya was? Abu al-Hakam. Yeah? We call him Abu Jahl because of his ignorance towards Islam. But his death was quick. In Badr, yani two young Sahaba, Mu'adh and Mu'awwad, they took him down, and Sahabi cut off his head, he died. So this is not considered tabba. But Abu Lahab didn't die like that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained this. And this is from the linguistics we understand. Tayyib. Tabbat. Ta is for a female. In the Arabic language, ta is for female. Sahwala. Is that true? Because of Jami'i, you study, right? Is Abu Lahab a man or a woman? So why is it tabbat?
Because it's both. It's his wife and.
No. Here in this ayah, tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tabba. There's no mention of Umm Jamil. It's his hands. Well, why are hands female? In the Arabic language, anything on your body that you have one singular is mudhakkar. It's considered the male tense. And anything you have two of are one female. So two hands, two ears, two eyes, these are all one. Nose, mouth, head, mudhakkar. Tayyib? So tabbat yada. What is being referred to? The two hands of Abu Lahab. Some of the riwayat, some of the ulama of tafsir, they mentioned that Abu Lahab, he raised his hands when cursing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was the jawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.